This is the Community Services and Safety Committee. My name is Cynthia Delestrinos Johnson. I'm the chair. I'm here with my fellow council members, Councilmember Quinn and Councilmember Edan. Tonight we have a short agenda. maybe this is relief from all of our last meeting that went extra long, but it's appreciated. The first item on tonight's agenda are the way back in, sorry, I'm pulling up my agenda, the leases for the way back in properties, and we have Stacy here who will present this item. Hi, Stacy.
Good evening, everybody. It's nice to see you. And I was so disappointed I did not get trick-or-treaters, and I bought candy hoping some of my neighbors would let their little ones come up. And now I've got M&Ms at home to take care of. So thank you very much for having me come and present about the way back in leases. We actually have three units here in Tukwila, and there's three individual houses, but they total four units. One of them is a duplex, and that's Hartnett Manor. And they're in sporadic locations throughout the city. The nice thing is that they are houses that the city owns on undevelopable land. And so the houses are maintained by the nonprofit, and they provide the screening, the family meetings, the support wraparound type of services to high-functioning homeless folks with children, at least one child under the age of 18. And so way back in has been a partner with the city of Tukwila before I started at the city of Tukwila, and that was in 1994. So they've been wonderful partners. And over the years, we've been able to add houses. We started out with Kennedy's Cottage, and we have been able to add a couple of houses in the year subsequent. Unfortunately, we had a unique set of circumstances in the this time of year in 2018, where the leases did not get renewed on Kennedy's Cottage and at Gregor House. And so this is why I'm bringing all three of them to you at this time, because the Hartnett Manor actually got an infrastructure grant, and one of the caveats to accepting the grant was the city had to say we would extend their lease for 10 years, and we agreed to do that because it was replacing the roof, new windows, outside painting, repairing the porch. And what that did was that preserved, obviously, this important housing stock in our community. And that lease has expired will expire at the end of the year, so that we are able to now put all three leases in a five-year plan on a typical renewal cycle. But that's when it was discovered that the last two leases from Gregor House and from Kennedy's Cottage had not been renewed like they should have been. And I take responsibility for that falling through the cracks. So tonight it's basically asking council for permission, because it is leasing property, city-owned property. And the way back in, it's a wonderful partnership, because we have houses that have been maintained. They're being used for homeless Tukwila families with children, and they are being really nicely maintained. And those houses would have been torn down, and it would have been empty property, which is certainly nothing wrong with that when we're talking about green space and wetlands and that sort of thing. But we've been able to get some extra life out of those houses, and that's been really valuable. Just as a side note, so far this year to date, the Way Back In has served 61 individuals and provided 2,664 bed nights in our community to our residents here. And they do an incredible job, and they have weekly family meetings, and have been great partners with the city. And ultimately, our goal is to get all three contracts on a five-year lease and then come back to you before that 5 years is up and ask for an extension, as long as the houses are still thriving and stable, and our commitment to keeping those houses is still there. So there's no financial impact for the leases. At this point, they've been able to make the maintenance, do the required maintenance on them. And they have been gone through our rental licensing program. And there was a few things found of several years ago that were addressed. And they're just healthy, thriving homes. And so my ask is if we can, if I can answer any questions for you, and hopefully I'll be able to give you the information you need to look at forwarding this to the November 15th regular meeting for consent for signature. And so I would be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you, Stacy.
Yeah.
Councilmember Quinn, do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions. I just have a comment. This was started, as you mentioned, in 1994. And I know that the families that come here need the assistance. And I would say that it might be, I'll just throw this out there. It might be helpful for the community to know that this exists, but more on a historical side, and then, you know, non-identifiers. But I do also think stories of a success and triumph and resilience. I really think if no one knows that it exists, and there are people that have been helped. Even just the creation, who was the sponsor of it initially, who was a champion of it. I think it would just be great to get the stories out there. And so that's all I had. And I'm comfortable forwarding this to consent.
I will share with you that I get quarterly bills from all of our nonprofits. And with the Wayback End, we also have about $12,000 annually that they apply for separately from these leases, where we pay the utility bills for all four units. And we do get wonderful, I mean, grab your tissues kind of success stories that come through that, the quarterly reports, and they focus on the successes that our families who have had the luxury of having these really nice homes over their heads for their duration here in Tukwila. There are some great success stories, and I'm happy to share those as well, because I think they're incredibly valuable.
What are your thoughts about getting a, like having a, this presented at Committee of the Whole, and it, not this particular request, because I think there's a reason why we should, you know, not, you know, release the, where the places are located. I know it's public records. You know, it's in the agenda and the materials, that's fine. But I think it is important for a community to know that this is something our city supports, how many people have gone through it, the purpose for transitional housing. I know I was really interested when I heard about it, and it would just be good to hear the stories that you were talking about, Stacy, that Councilmember Quinn has suggested. Probably not necessarily tied to this, but at a time, you know, when you have time, or maybe it would be great to hear from the Wayback In staff, even just a presentation about the program that they have.
We can look at that one of two ways. We could certainly have the ED come and present to council. And I think it would be really nice to do that when we have new council members on board. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Zach, because I know you've been before, though, but because this is for whoever our new council folks are, they are probably not really well versed in the Wayback End, specifically houses, but we can absolutely do that. I'm happy to do that, or I can have the ED come in and talk about the partnership and the years, because she's been with the Wayback End for probably 20 years. So I will make a note of that in my calendar, and we will, if you're good with after the first of the year, I would love to do that.
I like that idea. But okay. Council Member Ejon, go ahead, and it's your turn to ask questions.
Yes, thank you. I think that's an excellent idea, doing after the year, especially with new council members coming. I kind of heard that, you know, how this was brought up, how, when he came on and who was involved, but just I haven't really I talked to other staff members and stuff like that, but, you know, I haven't really got that formal anyone that's managing you directly or anyone else. But I think this is I have a lot of good accolades to Wayback and what they do, and that organization is an awesome organization. And I'm glad they are working with us. One of the things I was going to ask you was related to utilities. In the contract, it talks about utilities is paid by the leasee, which is Wayback, and you mentioned there are times that I guess that we help out in some areas. The other thing that I was kind of curious that would be, I think, would be helpful for the council is the annual report that they produce. It'd be good for the council members to get that, to, you know, how often they produce. I think it's good to kind of see that data, and maybe if it needs dissecting, you can help through and help them out. But I think this is a really awesome program that we have. But the question, and then I'm not specifically asking you, I think I'm just wanting to put on the floor, is how often do we inspect these properties? And then how often are we investing this property on our budget line items, right? So if it's 100,000 to really renovate these spaces and they serve really a great need, how often are we hearing from you on the budget discussions and amendments, and how often our council would know? There were times that I wanted to bring it up, but I think there's not a whole lot of knowledge in terms of us or the community. I think that kind of goes back to Councilmember Quinn. But I think that's something to think about, because you actually, some of the things you said was that there was time that they wanted, Wayback wanted to go for a grant to renovate some of these. And then they wanted to extend to come back to us. But how are we going to think about and plan to really sustain this beautiful spaces, and so our families that are going difficult times have a space that's a lot more comfortable than what it is right now. And I'm not saying they're not comfortable, but just trying to, I have visited one of them, not as a council member, but just as a citizen to kind of check it out, what it looked like. But it could definitely be improved. Thank you, all the work that you do, but that's just a point I wanted to bring it up. I yield back.
I do have some data to share with you, Council Member Ejon, if you would like me to, and I'll let committee chair decide if that's okay or not.
Yeah, go ahead and...
Okay. So... The we did talk about this with the city attorney about the utilities being in the utility language being in the leases. And I actually brought it up that we do have a 2-year contract, just like all of our other human services contracts. And it's $12,000 a year this year. Typically, it's been $10,000 for the last several years. And when I brought it up, the council or the city attorney reminded me that they have to apply. This is not a given. So we keep it in the lease because the advisory board could make a recommendation at some point that we would rather take that $10,000 and not pay the utility bill, but put those funds towards something else. So we kept that clause in the lease because we will be in the middle, we'll probably go through two more funding cycles. And so then we don't have to amend the leases. If we didn't have that in the clause that they're responsible for the lease, and then the recommendation was not to provide funding for the utilities, then we'd have to change the lease, the property lease. So that's why it's still in there. And the Way Back In has an extensive partnership with a couple of our local hotels, and they have an extensive volunteer group. And I've actually participated in two of the renovations myself, and they get new furniture every few years. They just replaced flooring. They've replaced bathtubs. They have kept these homes. They're not houses. They are homes, and they're current, and they're inviting, and they're up to date, and they're decorated. It is like walking into one of our homes, and they have done a beautiful job with that. But you do have a good point, because we do know that these are old homes. There could be a water line, there could be a sewer line, there could be other expenses that come down the road. We haven't talked about what it would look like to repair one of those houses if something major happened. There was a major issue with needing $10,000 worth of renovation on this, or maybe it was $20,000 of renovation on the house that's the duplex. And the ED went and sought those grant funds. And so when they see something that needs to be done, if they can't do it themselves, we have done a few small things to help with repair or maintenance, but it's all been done by grants, either grants or fundraising that the nonprofit has done. So, and in fact, Kennedy's Cottage was vacant for a couple of months this summer so that they could do renovation. So it's not uncommon for them to take when a family's been in a house for an extended time period. So it could be 3 months, it could be a year, depending on if that residence is in school, they could wait till the parent has graduated their program and gotten their job, and then they're self-sufficient. So there was an extended renovation on Kennedy's Cottage this summer that I will ask for photos, because it was pretty amazing what they had done inside. So I think if you went in now into any of the homes, you would be really pleasantly surprised at how inviting and warm, and they feel like home. It does not feel like a house or a hotel, or that they're a visitor there. That feels like their home.
I appreciate your remarks. Hanson, thank you.
Sure.
Councilmember Quinn?
Yeah, I don't want to extend this conversation, because I know we're going to do it on consent, but I just wanted to emphasize the suggestion around the foundational pieces of this, because two thoughts come to mind. One, sometimes there's an interest in having revisionist history about our work in these spaces, and it's always good to have the foundational pieces and what they were thinking at the time. The second thing that I thought about was after having a conversation with Carol Haggerton, right, there's this real sense, this need, this acknowledgement that there were things that were being done a long time ago that other jurisdictions are now doing. And I think it's a form of respect to show the foundation, because sometimes, you know, the cliche is that people don't get their flowers until, you know, it's too late. And so I just wanted to emphasize that, because I think there's just a tendency to want to say, oh, this is something new, we don't do this. Yeah, we do it, and we did it in 1994 before it was a you know, broad practice. So I just wanted to emphasize that.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think that is very important. I don't have any questions. I'm supportive of this request, sending it to consent, and following back up with a presentation in the new year, and also incorporating just the history behind this project as well, and where it was where the idea came from and generated, and giving credit to those who helped make it possible. So I think that's great. Council members, just nod your heads if you're okay. Great. Thank you so much, Stacy.
Thank you all very much. It's always so nice to see you.
You too.
Thanks.
The next item on the agenda is a discussion on Cascade Behavioral Health Hospital, and Chief Drever is here to discuss this item.
Yeah, I don't have too much of an update, as things have been remaining kind of status quo, going back to, I guess, bringing us up to speed from the council's letter that they sent off to the Department of Health and the Department of Health response letter that they received. We still respond to calls at Cascade Behavioral, no different than we have for pretty much the rest of the year. We respond there on a weekly basis. The only change has been with the ongoing labor dispute, there has been some active protesting out there. And even though they are directing the protests at Cascade Behavioral, we have received some complaints from some neighbors. We've gone out to talk with them. Labor's been cordial and cooperative when we go out there, but they are, their position is that they're exercising their right to free speech and protest, which we want to respect that, but we are at a point where it is impacting neighbors. And so we're working with the city attorney's office to see what's the most, diplomatic way for us to address the concerns of the neighbors who have nothing to do with the labor and management dispute. So we're still working on that. Labor has been cooperative. Management has been cooperative every time we come out. We still have not had any reports since back in the report back at August 1st, I think it was, of any assaults on staff. We have not been in further communications with labor, but they have not been reporting anything to us, as well as management hasn't, as well among all the other calls. So we did see the report from the Department of Health, and we're relying on them and their authority to address any of the concerns that were brought up by labor in their dispute. And hopefully we'll receive some feedback from them as well on how we can best interact on that and help with that issue once we hear from the Department of Health.
Thank you, Chief Drever. Council Member Quinn, do you have any questions?
I think initially, no, based on the substance that the Department of Health put in that letter. I thought it was right on to what we were asking about. And so, I think some of this is going to evolve. There's clearly some areas that go into, as Chief Drever spoke to, you know, kind of a labor dispute versus, you know, commentary. I guess I would ask a question. Knowing what was brought up about the nuisance ordinance, and potentially a policy that may reduce the amount of calls, I'm just wondering, did you kind of catch that? Did you put some thought into it once we kind of heard more information come out later in the meeting prior to the earlier committee meeting that we discussed this with the CEO? So I'm just wondering, did what were your initial thoughts on that? And that's all I have, because I think it's evolving.
Yeah, so we still are looking at the property as a potential chronic nuisance. We're trying to evaluate it equitably, because just like the mall qualifies as a chronic nuisance. And so for an establishment like this, what would be a reasonable number of responses before we say that it's a drain on our resources beyond what is reasonable? So we haven't seen a spike from what we had previously. And so for the crimes that would qualify for a chronic nuisance, we're still right there on the edge where we are getting some crimes of assault. But again, it's patient on patient, and it's not enough for us to label them a chronic nuisance, whereas they are addressing the problem internally, both the staff and management, so it minimizes the involvement by us and fire, because fire is also called there for aid services. However, I do plan on reaching out to Chief Whitwer and seeing what we can do jointly to assess whether or not it is a drain on the resources, look to some of our neighboring communities that also have similar facilities and see what type of responses they're getting, to the point of if they are being overburdened or our resources are being a drain based upon size and type of facility. So hopefully we'll come to an answer on that. We're also, quite honestly, actively waiting on a response from the Department of Health as well to see if there might be some remedies through that might be able to address some of this. So I think it's an all-inclusive, big picture look as we then try and refine and focus on how we can best address it.
Councilmember Edon.
I don't have a particular question. I saw the letter, and I'm also still trying to think what the policy that they have, internal policy about reporting, and you know, for our police department, they would not know if someone does not call, and they're not in charge of their policies. So that's something I struggle, because and maybe that's where the investigation from the state the department could shed some light around that, because we want employees to be safe, and we want, you know, the patients to be safe, and we want our neighbors to have some peace and to be safe. No parties that's involved, either the employers or the employee, and also, you know, the bystander that actually the neighbors around in that facility that are impacted. I'm glad the chief have engaged and talked to the neighbors. Also, I think what we heard tonight is that he's talked to both the labor and still continues to talk to the employer. So I look forward hearing what the department's investigations and keep us appraised to how it's going, chief, and thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you.
I also shared similar concerns as my other council members had mentioned, but I think, like the rest of you, we're just waiting to see what the Department of Health is able to find in their investigation. I'm glad we took that action and that we're all trying to figure out from them what the next steps should be, because it seems like there's not much that we can do, but it is really concerning when we hear that there were, or at least allegations of instances of, you know, assaults happening within Cascade that weren't being reported because there was a policy saying that they shouldn't report. But there's nothing we can do at this. It doesn't seem like there's anything we could do at this point, or it's not within our purview to do that investigation. It seems like the Department of Health is in a better position to be able to do so.
If I could comment on that real quick, I agree. I think the Department of Health is going to be able to root out if such a policy exists, I would hope that they are able to root it out. But having been involved with middle management passing on expectations that's not consistent with the upper management, for instance, say the administration, and then you've got a layer of supervisors in there. There is a possibility that we have somebody in the middle, you know, somewhere in the supervisory chain that is making decisions on their own that could be impacting both employer and employees, and creating a little bit of miscommunication in there. And so one of the things I was planning on doing is reaching out to management again and, you know, encouraging them to do an internal investigation of their own to try and find out it, because management's claiming there's not a policy such as that. Labor is, in which case it would behoove management to find out, okay, where is this miscommunication? Taking both at face value for what they say. So have management do an internal investigation and hold itself accountable to find out if there is somebody that is not passing on the expectation of the safety for the employees or reporting. Find out where that directive came from, if it's not actually in policy. So I think it would behoove them to do that in conjunction with whatever the Department of Health does.
Thank you. Do you still meet with the leadership on a regular basis?
I know that Deputy Chief Lund has spoken with him recently. I have not spoken with them in about a month and a half. I wasn't involved in the last meeting they had, but the plan is for us to still meet with them monthly and problem solve on addressing these types of problems.
Okay. Deputy Chief Lund, do you have anything you wanted to share?
No, I don't have anything to add to that. The most recent contact I've had was with Cascade's attorney. I have not met with management in probably 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for the update. All right, we have one item that's a miscellaneous, and that is just for us to get an update on the Franco Grattan case. A couple of the council members had been emailed about this and a public records request that was pending. And so I asked Chief Drever to give an update on the status of that.
Yeah, I apologize. I tried to reach out to you. I left you a message for you, Cynthia. I think it's probably best for, this is a topic that's under potential litigation with the city. So probably best if we talk in a general sense and not the specifics of it.
Okay.
The bottom line is that there was a concern regarding that particular incident about our timeliness for the police department releasing public disclosure requests. In an effort to try and find resolution, I met with the representation, the attorney for that individual, and we had discussions about our public disclosure requests. We didn't necessarily see eye to eye as it related to the timeliness and who should bear responsibility for delays in getting the public disclosure request information. However, as a result of that meeting, we were able to fulfill the request. They have everything that they've asked for. We fulfilled the request. We've met their needs. As well as out of that meeting, it prompted me to do a look at our processes to make sure that we are meeting the needs of those that are asking for records. So we have hired representatives from WASPIC to come and do a LEMAP audit on us for our records and public disclosure requests so that they compare us to best practices and try and find any room for improvement. They'll point out what we're doing well. They'll point out areas that we need to improve upon, and we'll be able to act upon that report so that we can better serve the community. So that's where we're at now. That LEMAP is scheduled for December 1st. We've got it scheduled, and I'd be glad to come back and update on what their report was.
That sounds good. Recognizing just that, you know, we are entering into territory that could be a little tricky in terms of possible pending litigation, do any of my council members have general questions about this?
No, I don't. I wasn't aware this is part in litigation, but no, I don't. Thank you, Chief.
All right. Are there any other miscellaneous items that my council members have? All right. I will close out this meeting. Thank you all so much for your time tonight, and I'll see you at the next meeting. Good night.
Thank you. Bye.